your time and dollars. Call United Way of Long Island at 249-1100. United Way. It brings out the best in all of us.
This United Way message is sponsored as a community service by the University at Stony Brook, where educating today's students for tomorrow is our major concern.
90.1 WUSB Stony Brook. I'm Billy Fisher for Concert Billboard for Sunday, September 22nd, 1991, at the Westbury Music Fair Anonymous Quarry. Tuesday, September 24th at the Beacon Theater Little Feet. Wednesday, September 25th at the Westbury Music Fair Paul Anka. The Connells at the Marquee. Thursday, September 25th at the Meadowlands Arena, Rod Stewart and his Vagabond Heart Tour 91. House of Freaks at the Marquee, at the Beacon Theater, the Pogues, Anthrax and Public Enemy at the Ritz. Saturday, September 28th at the Beacon Theater, Eric Johnson, Alan Holdsworth at IMAC, at Madison Square Garden, Barry Manilow, Rob Wire and Rob Wasserman at the Ritz. Wednesday, October 2nd at Madison Square Garden, Luther Vandross, Sinbad and Lisa Fisher. Lisa and Cult Jam and Salt and Peppa at the Westbury Music Fair. Thursday, October 3rd at Westbury Music Fair, Ronnie Millsap and Exile. Friday, October 4th at the Academy, Hoodoo Gurus. Saturday, October 5th at Westbury Music Fair, Regis Philbin and Kathy Lee Gifford at Wee Scotty's The Reactors. Exploited, Biohazard and Type O Negative at the Ritz. At the Marquee, Meat Puppets. Tuesday, October 8th at the Nassau Coliseum, Tom Petty. If you have any questions regarding the concert billboard or concerts going on across the island, give us a call at the studio. The number is 516-632-6901. That number again regarding questions or comments about the concert billboard or concerts going on across the island, 516-632-6901. I'm Billy Fisher for Concert Billboard for Long Island's first station of the 90s, 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
This is Brain Damage. We're here live tonight. Regis and Kathy Lee? Who the hell would want to go see them in concert? Or if you want to see them, give us a call. We'd like to find out what kind of people you are. Curious individual. I thought you might read this if I told you not to. But don't read any more, because the rest of this leaflet could affect you more than you want it to. Maybe you're satisfied with the way things are in your life. Continuing to read this could really change a lot of that. You're still interested, aren't you? Well, if you want to keep reading, then you have to read the whole thing. You can't put this down until it's over, no matter what happens. Well, here it is. We all like to feel good about ourselves, but many times we don't. Very often we do things we wish we hadn't. We try and forget about it, but we know we've really messed up. Sometimes what we do really hurts other people, and at times we even hurt ourselves. Let's face it, we all blow it. Some of what we call mistakes, God calls sin. God, sin. What are you, some kind of religious nut? Don't forget our agreement. You're almost at the halfway point. Keep reading. Come on, let's be honest. We've all sinned. No one is perfect except for one person. God. He's perfect. And we're not. Yet, deep down, we all would like to spend eternity with Him in heaven. But how can that possibly happen if we are all imperfect and He's not? Well, here's the news that could change your life. He's provided a way which you've heard about already, probably many times. So listen carefully, because I don't think you've really understood it yet. Keep reading. Come on, only one third to go. Remember back when you started reading this leaflet? How I told you not to? Even though you were told not to do it, you kept on reading. You see, that natural desire to do what you want to, whether it's good for you or not, sometimes gets you to do things you shouldn't do. Now, in this case, it's not going to hurt you, but other times it has. And let me repeat what I said before. Some of what we call mistakes, God calls sin. And sin is what has kept you from getting to know God. Here is a solution that could change your life. God is perfect. We are not. We've sinned. And yet, He loved us enough to become a man. That's right. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I know you've heard He died for your sins, but you've probably never really understood what that means. If you will stop trusting in the good things you can do to get you into heaven, and completely trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, you can have an incredible relationship with God. Jesus was perfect, and yet He died for each one of our sins. We should have hung on that cross, not Him. He loves you. He died for you. And He wants you to be with Him forever. Pray and ask Him to come into your life. Or you could also give us a phone call at 632-6901. We're reading tracks entitled Don't Read This, written by a man called Francis Anfuso and put out by the Christian Equippers International. We've got some interesting stories of living and dying and all that stuff that happens in between. But, of course, we do want to hear from you. Our phone number is 632-6901. The program is Brain Damage. It's a call-in show, and we have lots to talk about tonight. Open microphone for anybody that wants to read Dr. Seuss. Grab your books, because we don't have any here. We looked all over the place, and we're surprisingly shallow in that department. I don't think Dr. Seuss put out any records, did he? If he did, maybe we have one somewhere. Otherwise, we'll just be talking about world events. The end of nuclear proliferation, maybe. And whatever else has been happening in your personal lives and what will be happening in our collective lives. But first, we want to go back to where we left off last week. Where did we leave off last week? Well, we reached out and we confused an operator in that way that we do, but we found a new friend along the way. And the only way I can really refer to this person is to call her the screaming operator of Bhutan. Yeah. It's somebody I think we're going to be talking to in the future. You know, we're going to be getting to know this person on an intimate basis. But what I'd like to do before we actually plunge into that is take a listen to what happened last week when we tried to find the phone number for the Exxon Oil Corporation in Bhutan. Bhutan's a little tiny country. It borders on China, I believe. I think it borders on India, maybe Nepal as well, over there in Asia. Very small country, very mysterious. But we found one operator who is rather emphatic about the way she says things. We're going to try to reach her again, so take a listen. Yes, hello?
Boy, yes.
They certainly shot over there.
Did you help you? We need the number for the Exxon Oil Corporation, please.
Exxon?
Yes.
It's which department?
Just the main number. Bhutan is a little tiny country. I'm trying to find a single country that doesn't have Exxon Oil in it.
Hello?
Yes.
Which department, ma'am?
We need the main number, please.
For which now? Which department?
This would be public affairs.
Huh?
First thing I thought of.
Hello.
Public relations.
You're calling Bhutan or somewhere.
Did you hear what we said? We said we need Exxon Oil. We need the main number, please.
Yeah, ma'am, but there's no such name. You're calling Bhutan or somewhere.
There's no Exxon Corporation?
No.
There's no Exxon Oil number there?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks anyway. And that's where we left things last week. Actually, we did call back once more because a listener suggested that we call back and ask, because she was saying which department, and we actually were able to get a phone number from her. She said this is the gas number or something like that, but we tried calling it later off the air, and we reached somebody who had never heard of Exxon Oil, so we don't think that there is an Exxon Oil in Bhutan, but that doesn't matter. That's not important. What's important is that we reached out, and we might have confused an operator or two along the way, but we found an interesting person out there. An interesting person that is probably still there, but there's only one way we're going to find out. And that way is to reach out and find out. Confusing an operator or two along the way, we're going to go back to Bhutan. This time, let's look for something else. Yes, we need a long distance, please. A longer distance than many of us have gone.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
Back to Bhutan. How many people have heard of Bhutan before last week?
It's Jeff, I'll help you.
Yes, hello, operator. We need overseas information for Bhutan, please.
Bhutan.
I think it's country code 975.
Hold on a moment.
Thank you. Big finish now.
Do I have any idea how to spell it?
Yes, actually it's spelled B-H-U-T-A-N.
Oh, I got it. Here we go.
Okay. I don't know much about it. It's kind of a small country, I think.
Yeah, it is. Only one operator. That's how small it is. Hold on.
Only one operator, huh?
Only one operator.
They tell you how many operators there are?
Huh?
They tell you how many operators they are when you call in?
No. That means usually direct when overseas or anywhere has two operators, one directory and one does calls. Like here in the United States, I just do calls. I don't do directory.
I see.
And they have another routing that does directory.
So their routing all goes to the same office.
Right, just one operator means very, very small.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a tiny place. They don't have very many telephones.
One moment.
Thank you. And, of course, they don't have very many people, so they don't need very many telephones. I was going to bring vital statistics for Bhutan, but I forgot. If anybody out there has an encyclopedia, I'm sure people out there have encyclopedias, look it up, B-H-U-T-A-N, give us some vital statistics. Uh-oh.
All information. international circuits to the country you are calling are busy.
Oh, that's very bad.
One moment.
I don't like hearing that.
All international circuits to the country you are calling are busy.
Wonder how many people could be calling Bhutan now.
I don't know. Depends how many lines they have. Could be like just one, like one line.
Yeah, I think they might just have one line. Someone beat us to it.
Wouldn't doubt it. Would not doubt it whatsoever.
Could you perhaps give one more try, and then if that doesn't work, we'll just try back later.
All international circuit.
Try one more.
Okay. Got a good operator here. He's into trying.
Your international call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oops, that was my fault.
Okay. He's good. He knows the difference because that's a recording that says cannot be completed as dialed. So that means it was a dialing error. Ah!
There we are.
You got it. I recognize that ring.
Hello?
Hello?
This is the HD operator in the United States in New York. Hold on, please, to assist my party. Go ahead, please.
Okay.
Hello, is this Bhutan?
Yes.
Oh, that's her. Yes, I need the number for the Shell Oil Company, please. It's spelled S.
Oh, what?
Shell. That's spelled S H E double L.
S H double E L.
No, S H E double L.
Double L.
Like the old Canarsie line, yeah.
Now
it's called the L, but it still goes to Canarsie. Stops at 14th Street.
Hello.
Yes.
You want the telephone number?
The telephone number for the Shell Oil Company, yes.
Shell? What? Shell Oil?
Shell Oil, that's right.
It's in Bhutan?
Yes.
Just hold on, I'll find out. Please hold on.
Okay, thank you.
What Shell Oil?
the oil company.
Yeah, I know what it is. I'm just laughing at her.
Well, I'm sure...
five holidays.
Yeah.
This place is, like, tiny. It's got to be.
They have five holidays?
Five holidays.
Do you know when they are?
Yeah. May 2nd, November 11th, and for 3 days on November 11th.
Oh, really? That's a big one.
That's that's the birth of H.M. Wenchuk. They're both at his birthday.
Okay, that's handy information to have, so I probably wouldn't be able to get through then.
It's unreal. The National Day?
Yeah.
First Buddha Sermon Day, Coronation Day. Those are the holidays.
When is First Buddha, whatever?
First Buddha Sermon Day? It's July 21st.
So we missed that.
Yeah.
What's the newest one coming up? Is that November 11th?
Birth of H.M. Wang Chuck, November 11th, for 3 days.
3 days. So that's the 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Oh.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We don't have this type of name in Bhutan.
Listen to that echo. Really? It's not there at all? No oil company?
We have got the oil company, but we don't have this type of name.
What's the name of the oil company?
B-O-D?
Okay, I guess that means...
To whom you like to call?
Well, I don't think I need that number. I was looking for Shell, but I guess it's not there.
Oh.
Okay, well, I'll try back later then.
Okay.
Not that will solve anything, but... Okay, thank you very much.
Bye, sir.
Bye-bye, thank you. we've made at least the day of one operator out there. And probably annoyed another one way over on the other side of the world, but... We heard her voice again, and we determined that there is no Exxon, and there is no Shell, but there is a BOD, whatever that is. Now, this, by the way, doesn't really count as confuse the operator for today, because we usually do that later, and we usually confuse somebody in a different part of the world, but we just wanted to check back in with her and see what she was up to. Again, our phone lines are open for you, 632-6901, and if we get a bingo in the next couple of minutes, we'll go right to the phone, 632-6901, area code 516. All right, we have one open line, but I'll let it go. 632-6901. No need getting technical here. We'll go straight to the phones. Good evening.
Yes, what's another word for thesaurus?
For another word for thesaurus. That's I wish I could help on that. I'll bite here. Did you try looking it up?
No, because I don't have one. I figured I was going to ask you if you had one down there.
Well, no, actually we don't have one, which is why we're always tongue-tied here. We never know what to say instead of what we're not supposed to say. So I would suggest anyone out there, please look it up. Look it up and tell us what you find.
Oh, listen, also,
yeah.
I did something very interesting last Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Did at this old hotel. Okay, and I asked them for a wake-up call, and they said they don't have wake-up calls, and they sent me a wake-up letter.
Well, you have to stay at the hotel to get the wake-up call. A lot of people don't know that.
I stayed at the hotel.
Oh, you were at the hotel at the time.
And they sent me a wake-up letter.
Oh, no, that's not proper because, did they send it off the site to mail it, you know, with a 29-cent stamp and all?
They sent it and they put it in, there's a mail hole in the hotel door and there's a wake-up letter.
Oh, then that's different because that will reach you the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I mean, because I wanted to get up at 6 in the morning. That's the time they gave it to me.
Uh-huh.
They didn't really send it, just like the office.
So it arrived.
The room service guy or something, and he dropped it off.
It arrived at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, something like that.
And it sounds like they did everything in their power.
Yeah, but see, it was weird, though. I mean, they, you know, instead of wake-up call, they gave me a wake-up letter.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a different form of communication, but the thing is, people communicate in different ways. Some hotels, you'll get a wake-up call. Some you get a wake-up letter. Some you might get, you know, a wake-up telegram. A what?
Wake-up belly dance.
Yeah, anything's possible. You probably have to pay extra for that, though.
Yeah, you probably would.
Some hotels I know will wake you up, but you have to call them at the appropriate time.
Right.
And then they tell you to wake up, but it's up to you to make the call to be woken up at the time. It's kind of confusing if you haven't ever
heard before. What I did was I went to the office and I said, can I have a wake-up call for 6:30? And they said, we'll send you a wake-up letter. And they sent me a wake-up letter.
Was there an additional charge for that?
No, there was no additional charge. They just, you know, they use in the thing if you want to wake up at a certain time, they'll do it for you.
Well, it's a good service. Hopefully it'll catch on.
It was different.
Hotel people out there, are you listening to this? This is a service that I think, I mean, you know, a lot of us don't like to hear the phone ringing, you know, to wake us up. But the drop of a nice letter, was the letter outside your door or inside the door?
No, it was, you know how like in the apartments where they have the thing where you stick it in, there's a hole in the door?
Right.
They stuck it through there.
So you hear this nice little flap sound
of
something opening up. Much better to, I mean, would you rather wake up to a jackhammer or a blue jay? You know, I think this is the equivalent of the blue jay. Much more gentle, much more relaxing. And, you know, who wants to hear a shrill bring of a phone?
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
No. So, I hope you left a hefty tip there.
Oh, yeah, I did. I gave him a rock share after.
That's good.
No, after I woke up after I left, I said thanks. I really appreciate it.
What part of the world was this hotel, by the way?
I was in Bhutan, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, right, you were in Bhutan. I don't think anybody's ever been to Bhutan from Long Island.
No, I'm only kidding. Yeah. I was upstate.
Upstate New York?
Yeah.
Well, it's...
By Albany.
By Albany, yes. Well, that's a good place to stay when you go up there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks so much for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Seattle, my buddy Mark.
Okay, hi, buddy Mark. And where are you calling from?
Port Jeff.
Port Jeff. Port Jeff or Port Jeff Station?
Jeff Station.
Okay, there's a big difference, you know.
Yeah.
All right, fights have been waged over this, so I just want to make sure you know where you're coming from.
Right.
All right, thanks for calling.
Okay, take care.
632-6901 is our telephone number, and we have some catastrophes going on in the studio, apparently, but that's okay, we're used to it. More phone calls? Should we go to more phone calls? Yes, we can go to more phone calls, and we'll make more phone calls, and we have a very interesting story to read to you, too, as well, and some confused operators, too, I understand. We'll get to that. They're sneezing out there. Everybody's got a cold around here. Everybody's sick. Are you sick? Is there something wrong with you? I don't know what's going on. It's a temperature change. I like this kind of year, this type of year. This kind of year is nice, too, but the time of year is nice when, you know, it suddenly gets cool and, you know, you don't want to be outside all the time. You want to be inside a little bit now, too, and you tend to see people more. And it's just the nights are more crisp and clear and the leaves start falling off the trees and all that kind of thing. And there's new TV shows on in the fall and school's back in session, you know, all that kind of thing. It's a nice time of year, maybe, because you get to look forward to the other times of year. Good evening.
Yeah, hi. I got the stuff on Bhutan that you were talking about.
What do you got?
I got the area, the population, capital, largest city. highest point monetary unit, major languages, and major religions.
Okay, why don't you start with the languages? What do they speak over there?
Nepali and Dzongka. I can't remember. D-Z-O-N-G-K-A.
That's interesting. I don't know that language. Now, they would speak Nepali, is that what you said?
Yeah.
That would be in Nepal, obviously, which is a neighbor of theirs. What's the population?
1,298,000.
Ooh. That's a hefty number of people. It's about a sixth the size of New York, but...
It's like half of Suffolk County.
Half of Suffolk County, yeah. And how big is the place?
18,147 square miles.
Interesting. Of course, I don't know what that really means, but...
Well, it's 47,000 square kilometers.
Okay, but I still don't know what it means. I don't know how big that is. I can't ever... Square miles, I have always had a problem with.
Well, it's bigger than an acre.
Okay, yeah, I can fathom that.
And the capital is Thimphu, and it's the largest city.
Thimphu, yes, yes. That brings back memories. I used to memorize all the capitals when I was a kid. Thimphu, I remember that one. You can't forget a city called Thimphu.
I found another country you could call.
And what's that?
A population of 63,000.
Hold on. Let's see if I can figure this one out. Tiny country, right?
Yeah.
Would it be one of those tiny European republics?
Nope.
So San Marino is right out. Okay. Equatorial Guinea. No, they changed their name, didn't they? Okay, tell me, what is it?
It's Seychelles. It's in Africa.
Oh, the islands. Seychelles Islands.
It's 145 square miles.
Uh-huh.
And that sounds like a pretty small country to me.
So you want we should try the Seychelles, huh?
Yeah, it's S-E-Y-C-H-E-L-L-E-S.
And what do you think we should look for when we go there?
I don't know. Metropolitan life.
Metropolitan life? Okay, we'll try it. We'll give it a shot. How about after 1 o'clock sometime?
I just want to say this before you got rid of me. I remember a couple people were calling you about graffiti and stuff.
Last week, 2 weeks ago, actually, yeah.
Well, I was playing in a handball court in Ronkonkoma, and I saw on the wall, Eric Corley is God.
And where is this? I got to find this.
It's in a handball court, like in an abandoned park.
In a handball court in an abandoned park.
Yep.
They say, I am God, huh?
It says, Eric Corley is God.
How am I going to find this place? I want to see this.
No, wait,
I got a better idea. I got a better idea. If people just paint that everywhere, then I wouldn't have to travel as much.
I'll do it.
I'm not advocating that. No, I didn't say that.
They're in the student union building on the front door.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because they'll know exactly where to go to get me. But, okay, well, thanks for putting ideas into everybody's heads. Where are you calling from?
Central Islip.
Central Islip, okay.
Yeah, call Albania, too.
Well, we've already called Albania more than most people think of Albania in a lifetime, but it's a good idea, and we'll certainly talk to Albania again. But, the screaming operator of Bhutan is somebody that I think we'll be hearing a lot from in the future.
Yeah, she's pretty funny.
She's great, yeah. I'd like to meet her someday.
Yeah, go to next flight on to Bhutan.
Well, you know, I don't think there are any flights to Bhutan.
You could find out when you
Well, I could find out. That's a very good idea. In fact, I think that's what we're going to try right now.
Why don't you book a flight for somebody?
That's not right.
I ordered a dial matches for several people at home.
Sir, this is not the confessional. This is not where you tell us your sins. Yeah, it's funny, but we don't know what kind of punishment to mete out to you. So we're not the qualified personnel.
All right, so
but
I'll catch you later.
Thanks for letting us all know that.
All right, bye.
All right. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Give us a call. Our lines are open. Okay, we're going to... What are we going to call? What's a good airline? Any idea? What airline do you think would go to Bhutan? How about, okay, British Airways. They sound like they go everywhere, so let's see if they go to Bhutan. We're going to get the phone number first from 800 information. Yes, hello. We need the phone number for British Airways, please.
The toll-free number is 800-247-9297.
Okay, here we go. Calling British Airways to see if they go to Bhutan. Should I tell them where Bhutan is or let them flounder? Let's let them flounder a little bit, but I won't...
British Airways, Jeanette speaking. How can I help you?
Yes, hello. I need to know if you have any flights to Bhutan.
Where
is
Bhutan? Bhutan is in Asia. It's sort of next to Nepal, India, China, those places. Capital city is Thimphu.
See if I can find the airport code. Hold on a second.
Thank you very much. Oh, musical hold. This is great. For those listeners just tuning in, there's nothing wrong with your radio. We're listening to Musical Hold. We're over on British Airways.
What was the capital city again? I'm sorry.
Capital city is Thimphu. That's T-H-I-M, I believe it's F-U, might be P-H-U. You sure don't, huh?
No, I'm not even finding anything close. I'm not even able to get an airport code.
Hmm. How would I find out who does fly there?
You may want to check some of the Asian airlines and see if they can help you.
Okay. You have any, like a Nepalese airline? Is there any of those?
I'm not familiar with those.
Okay. I guess we'll just hunt around then and find something.
Yeah, what you need to do is just check the local Yellow Pages for a listing.
Okay. Okay, we'll do that then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, you hear that? We have to consult our phone books and find one of those Asian airlines and see if they go there. So I'll leave that to our listeners. We don't have phone books here. If our listeners have a phone book, they can look it up and see if anybody goes over there. Okay, enough of that. 632-6901 is our telephone number. And we've got all kinds of exciting things. Oh, this is a perfect example of something exciting. The dramatic and controversial feature of the program, where we reach over and touch upon subjects that some people really don't want to think about. Namely, the question of what is for lunch?
Good morning. You have reached the FSA hotline.
Hey.
For lunch today, Friday,
who's
September
this?
27th, we are...
Wait a minute. Where's the lunch lady? They got a different person here. The lunch lady is gone. They've replaced her with somebody with an accent. Are people going to stand for this? Well, let's at least hear them out and see what they have to say. Oh, boy.
Good morning. You have reached the FSA hotline. For lunch today, Friday, September 27th, we are serving in all dining halls New England clam chowder, French bread pizza, breaded chicken sandwich, chili con carne, fettuccine with formaggio sauce, brown rice, peas and carrots, and string beans almondine. For dinner tonight in the dining halls, we're serving fish Florentine, beef stroganoff, eggplant parmesan, poppy seed noodles, Italian vegetable mix, and corn on the cob. Thank you for using the FSA hotline.
And abusing it, too. I don't know what... Maybe she's got the virus that's spreading around campus. Everybody else seems to, so I guess the lunch lady is not immune from that. I have nothing against new voices, but she was something special. I guess telegrams are in order. Well, what's in order right now are phone calls, 632-6901. We have none. No phone calls at all. I don't know where everybody is, but we want to hear from you. We want to know what you think of world events, about this bold step forward that President Bush has supposedly taken, and basically saying that nuclear weapons are out of style. Let's also take a look at what's going on in the world. Turn that off. World leaders are reacting positively to President Bush's plan to make deep cuts in U.S. nuclear arsenals. British Defense Secretary Tom King today matched one of the U.S. pledges by announcing his country's naval ships would no longer routinely carry short-range nuclear weapons. Australian Prime Minister Bob Hawke described the cuts as a decisive step for world peace. Soviet leaders praised Bush's move, and a spokesman for Mikhail Gorbachev said a detailed response will be coming soon. The U.S. is moving fast in implementing Bush's package of sweeping reductions in the country's nuclear arsenals. Defense Secretary Dick Cheney today signed an order removing 40 long-range bombers and 450 long-range missiles from their full-time alert status. But Cheney assured Americans that the country remains ready to confront any threat, including that from outer space. The widow of former Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos may try to take the body of her late husband back to his homeland. So, you know, I can't imagine what state that body must be in by now. I mean, how long has it been lying around for? They want to still take him back. I mean, I can't imagine them having, like, you know, one package of it. It must be in several packages by now. It was hard enough thinking of the guy when he was alive, but now that he's dead and decomposing and everything. Whew. Anyway, they want to take him back to the Philippines. And against the government's wishes. I have enough of that sort of thing over there already. Sources say Imelda Marcos plans to return to the Philippines on Friday, the day her entry permit expires. Seems rather tricky of her, but that's what she's going to do. The government in Manila says it will suspend the landing rights of any airline that brings Marcos's body back without permission. Why don't they sprinkle his ashes over the Philippines? I mean, wouldn't that, you know, they can't really stop you from doing that. Right? I mean, that makes more sense. If you want to return somebody to a certain country, well, just, you know, dump them out of the airplane. There you go. Airplane doesn't have to land. He's back in the Philippines. Everybody's happy. I know I'll be happy. Oh, we have reports of airlines coming in. That's good. People are doing their homework. But we don't have any calls. What's going on out there? 632-6901. Are we off the air? The phone's broken? No, they seem to be working. 632-6901. Give us a call. I expect to see, last week at this time, we had 5 calls. We have zero. 0 calls at 12:38 in the morning. So fix that situation, folks. A spokesman with Boston's Logan International Airport says a problem with the electrical system in a Continental Airlines jet caused the plane's cockpit to fill with smoke. Flight 363 was preparing to take off today when the pilots reported trouble. 4 people were injured while evacuating down the plane's emergency chutes. I've always wondered what that would be like, you know, evacuating down an emergency chute. And how do people get injured? You know, people always seem to get injured when they go down emergency chutes. Has anyone out there ever gone down an emergency chute? Everyone's got a story to tell. Everyone's been through something that none of us have ever been through. What's your story? 632-6901. Let's put you on the spot. Thousands of factory workers who make Caterpillar earth-moving equipment aren't exercising their option to go on strike next week. The United Auto Workers Union and Caterpillar have agreed to extend the current contract indefinitely. UAW representatives say the extension will let the union focus on talks with the Deere Company, a leading farm machinery maker. The union's contracts with both companies were to expire at midnight Monday, and workers have authorized their leaders to call a strike. Some Republicans want to change their party's platform on abortion. That's right. Pro-choice Republicans met today in Washington to try to find ways to elect party members who support a woman's right to have an abortion. Mary Dent Crisp with the National Republican Coalition for Choice says the GOP can forget about winning a majority in Congress and in state governments unless it foregoes its anti-abortion stance. And after 3 days of anti-government demonstrations, the capital of Romania is calm once again. Police drove demonstrators from Bucharest today, and angry coal miners, those coal miners have been angry now for about 3 years. They voluntarily left the city after the government promised miners that their demands would be addressed. But Romanian radio says there's now a widespread and potentially devastating strike by other coal miners angered by the country's economic problems. And finally, 5 days of rioting in Zaire have ended with the president agreeing to form a coalition government with the opposition. It's the first time the iron-fisted government has agreed to share power in the Central African country. Ministers to the new government are to be named tomorrow. And that is some of the news. Again, let me issue the invitation to our listeners out there. If anybody has a Dr. Seuss book that they want to read excerpts of, please give us a call and do so, because we don't have any here. And we'd certainly like to have a listen to that. And if you know of any records, we might have records, but I don't know if we do. I didn't see any. 632-6901. Let's see who's out there. Good evening.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you? Where are you calling from?
Central Islip.
Central Islip, okay.
You know how everybody thinks that everybody's for this Yeltsin-Bush-Gorbachev thing and peace and whatnot over there?
What is the Yeltsin-Bush-Gorbachev thing?
Kind of like the whole coup and whatnot. Everybody's on
Yeltsin's
side.
Everybody's happy that the coup failed.
Yeah, it's not everybody. I go to the school in the city, and I see signs all over, like, everything. There was some big meeting about people that were against this.
Uh-huh. What are they called? What kind of people are they?
I don't know. Pro-socialist, but I thought it was a communism, not a socialism. They said socialism is good, but wasn't Russia a communist?
Well, I know there's a lot of leftist groups in this country that are really kind of bewildered right now. They don't know where to turn because everything's kind of falling down. I don't know. You know, I think what's really important, though, is how they feel over there. Do you think there's a large group of people over there that wanted the coup to succeed?
Yeah, I was going to go to the meeting, but I decided not to. Something came up, and, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you personally think about it?
I don't know. I don't think we should be involved in it at all. We should let them do what they want to do, and Bush should stay out of it.
Well, haven't we pretty much stayed out of it?
Yeah, but Bush is sitting there, I don't know, wasn't he on TV talking about it?
Well, I didn't see him on TV, but I know that what he did say, he was cutting back on short-term nuclear weapons, short-range nuclear weapons, that is, which...
That is, either. I don't know. I think that's just a political thing.
Oh, yeah, obviously. It's a political thing, no question about it, but it's still a positive step.
That's positive.
Took long enough to take, but at least he took it.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what do you do when you're not on the radio?
What do I do when I'm not on the radio? I think about what I'm going to do the next time I'm on the radio, and I think about what I shouldn't have done the time before that.
Are you a student or what?
No. Well, you know, other than being a perpetual student of life, I'm not a student here anymore, no.
All right, because my friend, the other guy that just called in,
uh-huh.
he insisted that you were a student, and I said he was wrong.
No, I used to be a student, but I'm not a student anymore because they don't let you stay a student forever.
Yeah, you have to get a real job and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, it's just part of the rules and regulations of life.
Yep. What do you think about Dr. Seuss dying?
Well, you know, I wish he hadn't done that, but since he did, I wish we had heard more of him when he was around. You know, I never saw his face. I never saw what he looked like. I never heard him talking until he died, and then there was all this hoopla about him. But, you know, it sounded like he had a lot to say.
Yeah, he's made a book, like, against nuclear war and whatnot. The last book he made, I think, was some butter book or something like that.
Uh-huh.
There was something about, it was like a whole anti-war book.
I wish I had that here, because I'd be reading from it now.
I think I might have it laying around here, but it's, like, really far away from me.
Well, if you find it and you want to call back later and then read excerpts from it, you're welcome to.
All right.
Because we all want to share in this. I do have one of the Dr. Seuss things on videotape, you know, How the Grinch Stole Christmas or something like that. But there's another one, The Cat in the Hat. That's one I haven't seen in a long time.
That's pretty cool. Forget it.
Oh, I do have some excerpts here. Okay, I have some excerpts from The Cat in the Hat that somebody has just forwarded to me, so I'm going to go to another phone call, then we'll go to that.
All right.
And hopefully we'll hear back from you sometime.
Okay, bye.
Take care. 632-6901. Let's get those calls coming in. We're not going to be on the air too much longer. Good evening.
Hi.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
I'm from Manorville. My name is Suzanne.
Manorville? You know, I don't think we've ever heard from Manorville.
Yep, Manorville, right here on the map.
That's out there, out by the Pine Barrens, right?
It is.
That's great. You know, before you say whatever you call to say, I just want to remind people that if you go out to Manorville in mid-October, you'll see the flight of the buck moth, which is the most incredible sight. You see all these buck moths flying around in the Pine Barrens, and it's their mating ritual, and it takes place in mid-October. Okay, that's what I know about Manorville. Plus, you have an airport out there.
Okay. All right. About Bhutan.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're trying to get there. I think you should call Air India.
That's a very good idea.
Okay, and I'll give you the number.
Okay.
All right. It's 1-800.
Of course, I don't have a pen. Oh, here's a pen. Okay.
Okay. 1-800.
Yeah.
223-7776.
Okay. We're not allowed to dial the 1 here. We have to just dial 800.
Yeah, well, I looked in the phone book, and it said dial 1, then 800. So, and this is the Suffolk book, so...
Yeah, that's weird, because in Suffolk County, you don't have to dial a 1. I don't know if people know that, but you can. It's optional, but you don't have to. And here at Stony Brook, if you do, you call 1, go through.
Would be my suggestion, because looking at the map, that's the nearest big country. So.
Can you describe it for us? You're looking at the map, so...
Yeah, it's between... China is to the north, Bangladesh is to the south, and India is to the west, and to the east is Burma.
Oh, Burma. Well, it's not called Burma anymore, you know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, now it's called Myanmar. I don't know why they changed it, but they did. They changed Myanmar, and they also changed the capital city, which used to be, what, Rangoon?
Rangoon, right.
And now it's Yangon, Y-A-N-G-O-N.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know why they do these things. It's to drive us crazy. But Bhutan has always been Bhutan, and as far as I know, Thimphu has always been Thimphu.
Yep. Well, I would say Air India would be the one. That's who I'd pick.
Uh-huh. That's a very good suggestion. We'll give them a call straight away.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. And Manorville, wow, that makes me feel good because we cherish our listeners out there to the east. And those are the people, by the way, that we are trying to reach with a better signal. And we're moving very, very steadily and getting very close to the point where we're going to increase that signal strength by moving the transmitter. But we'll get more details to you on that as they come in. 632-6901, area code 516. Okay, we can... I guess try. They've heard of Connecticut. Telephone ringing at Air India.
The 800 number you've dialed, 223-7776, has been disconnected.
Uh-oh.
Calls are being taken by 212-751-6200. That number again is area code 212-751-6200. Thank you.
Boy, that number looks familiar. Wait a minute, I heard a touch tone. All right, well, I'm not going to deal with that now, but okay, all right. We'll try that number. Only because we've come so far. Now we're ringing Air India in New York.
Thank you for calling Air India. Our reservations office is closed for the day and will reopen at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. However, if you are calling from a touch-tone telephone for flight information, please press 1.
Okay, let's press 1.
For September 28th, Air India Flight 101 arrived at JFK at 3:45 p.m. The departure flight Air India Flight 102, destined to London and Bombay, departed JFK at 9:15 p.m. This flight is expected to arrive at London Heathrow Airport at 3:25 a.m. New York time on September 29th. Tomorrow's arrival, Air India Flight 111 of September 29th, is scheduled to arrive JFK at 3:45.
This isn't exactly what I was looking for.
For any additional arrival or departure information, please call this number after 9 a.m. Thank you.
Well, I guess we're not going to get any information out of them. But, we're going to keep looking.
Again, thank you for calling Air India. We are pleased to be of assistance.
Well, you really weren't of much assistance, but thanks for wishing us well and all that. And while they hang up and say goodbye and all that, again, we appeal to our listeners to see if they can figure out how to get to Bhutan. I will go to Bhutan at some point. It's I'm looking right now at the New York Times, you know, those sections in the travel section where... They print the cities in really, really tiny letters, and they have a number next to it, and that's the price that you pay to get there. And I see all these Asian cities. I see Tokyo, Osaka, Taipei, Bangkok, Hong Kong, Singkul, I've never heard of, Manila, various other places. But I don't see Thimphu. I don't see Bhutan. It's not going to be easy, folks. Definitely not going to be easy. But life is not easy. Okay, 632-6901. Let's get a bingo. We have not yet had a bingo tonight. Dr. Seuss from The Cat in the Hat. We looked. Then we saw him step in on the mat. We looked and we saw him, the cat in the hat. And he said to us, "Why do you sit there like that? I know it is wet and the sun is not sunny, but we can have lots of good fun that is funny." From 1957, that's when The Cat in the Hat came out. Then we have Green Eggs and Ham from 1960. "Say, I like green eggs and ham. I do. I like them, Sam I am. And I would eat them in a boat. I would eat them with a goat. And I will eat them in the rain and in the dark and on a train and in a car and in a tree. They are so good. So good, you see. So I will eat them in a box. And I will eat them with a fox. And I will eat them in a house. And I will eat them with a mouse. And I will eat them here and there. Say, I will eat them anywhere." Green Eggs and Ham, 1960. Okay, now, this next piece, I don't know. I do not know this next piece. I do not know it. No, I don't. I'm sorry to sound like Dr. Seuss, but I don't mean to. It's from The Lorax, 1971. "He snapped, 'I'm the Lorax who speaks for the trees, which you seem to be chopping as fast as you please. But I'm also in charge of the brown barbalutes who played in the shade in their barbalute suits and happily lived eating truffula fruits. Now, thanks to you hacking my trees to the ground, there's not enough truffula fruit to go round, and my poor barbalutes are all getting the crummies because they have gas and no food in their tummies." And the final piece we're going to read, from 1990, which was last year, "Oh, the places you'll go. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked." I've never heard the word darked before, but never mind that. "A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare stay out? Do you dare go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right and three quarters, or maybe not quite, or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind." Well, that's a couple of pieces from Dr. Seuss. If you have any favorites, please call us up and read them to us. If you have anything else to say, though, can't emphasize it enough, this is your forum to speak out. And our phone lines are open again, 632-6901. People are shy tonight. I mean, there's nothing really good on TV. Are we at war or something? I don't know. You know, sometimes we're isolated here at the radio station, and sometimes, you know, the station goes off the air, and we keep talking because we don't know the station's off the air. We're supposed to know that, but sometimes, you know, we get into what we're doing, and we're just kind of oblivious to life as it's going on. You know, there's a hurricane here. We were just playing music. We didn't know what was going on outside. Devastation. Bodies floating down the street, and we just kept on playing music. I mean, I guess it's a need for that kind of thing, you know, for obliviousness. Yeah, there's a need for that kind of thing. But we also need to, you know, have some feedback. So if you're out there and you're thinking of calling, do make us happy by calling us. So here's a list of some Dr. Seuss books. Boy, he started writing back in 1937. And anybody think of the first title of the book that he wrote? "And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street." That was the first book. Then The 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cubbins, The Seven Lady Godivers. Oh, that was an adult book. Does anybody have the adult book? I'd like to hear excerpts from that. 1937, The Seven Lady Godivers. I believe that's the only adult book he put out. And the last one was Oh, the Places You'll Go. Okay, well, we're not getting any action on the phones. I don't know what's going on out there. What should I do? Should I threaten the people? Should I threaten to play something really horrible? I can read about animal cruelty. You want me to do that? I can do that. 19,000 animals killed in automotive crash tests. How's that? From the Associated Press. You want gory stories? I can get you gory stories. I've got a whole pile here. About 19,000 baby dogs rabbits, pigs, ferrets, rats, and mice have been killed during the last decade in an automobile. What are you laughing at? We have people laughing in the studio at this. Can you believe this? Talk about, you know, a baby puppy being killed in a car crash intentionally. Intentionally. An automobile safety test performed by the General Motors Corporation. General Motors, that is. A company spokesman said today. The spokesman, Don Postma, said the tests helped to reduce injuries to drivers and passengers and were performed on animals that had been anesthetized. The comments were made in response to a report yesterday by the Detroit News about the testing. And that testing was condemned by a leading animal rights organization, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, which called for a boycott of General Motors products. The news said the animals, most of them rodents, but also including hundreds of dogs and rabbits, have been killed since 1981 in tests that the company said it could not perform with computers or dummies alone. The Ford Motor Company and the Chrysler Corporation do not perform tests on animals, but have access to GM's research results. That use of animals in the tests was attacked by People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, a group based in Rockville, Maryland, that opposes all animal testing. In an age when computer models and state-of-the-art dummies are the order of the day, they're still killing innocent animals in the name of science. That's getting the phones ringing a bit. Because of advances in the use of computer models and dummies, most such testing? Is that grammatically right? Most such testing of... the Associated Press really gets to me sometimes. If it is grammatically correct, it's very clumsy. But I really shouldn't quibble. Because of advances in the use of computer models and dummies, most such testing of animals has been phased out since it was started in the 1970s, said George Parker, Director of Research and Development for the government's National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Mr. Postma said the company still did a relatively minor amount of animal testing. They include experiments that result in skin shredding, chest injury, and polluting of the lungs with auto emissions. It's nice to know there's a company out there looking out for us. Mr. Postma said about 19,000 animals were killed in testing in the last decade, mostly mice and rats. He added that the animals were not in pain at any time. They asked them. They took a little survey. They were anesthetized and then killed before they regained consciousness. The company's position got some support from the director of the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute, Patricia F. Waller, who said computer tests could not completely replace other types of research. Even with a computer, she said, it's very difficult to simulate a human body completely to make everything respond the way the human body responds. And, of course, the side benefit to all this is, of course, it'll make things safer for all those rats and pigs and dogs and everything that are traveling in cars and wish not to get into accidents. 632-6901. Good evening. Or good morning, I should say.
Yes, hello.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Greenlawn.
Greenlawn? Oh, I like that place.
Yeah, it's a good place.
Yes.
I'd like to make a request.
Okay, what's your request?
Please read some more of those tracks that you were reading before.
You want us to read more tracks, huh?
Yes.
Okay, we have a couple of them. Any particular subject you'd like us to delve into?
Well, what's my choice? Choices.
Okay, what do we have here? We've got Rock and Roll Obsession. We've got Christianity versus the Occult.
Okay.
We've got The Power of God. We've got Are You Going to Heaven?
Uh-huh.
Two-question test reveals the answer. We've got something called As Long as You're Sincere.
Okay, how about The Power of God?
Power of God.
Okay,
that's a good one. It's Power of God. Yeah, we can read some bits from that.
Could you? All right, good, thanks.
Okay, is that all you want?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
We'll get right into that then.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, thanks for calling. Well, it's nice to know the tracks are reaching somebody, you know? It's nice to know we're having an effect. We're changing lives. That's what it's all about, right? Speaking of tracks, 250,000 people went to Central Park last week. That's right, 250,000 went to see Billy Graham. The Reverend Billy Graham brought his gospel-style love in to Central Park's Great Lawn on Sunday, telling about 250,000 people that New York City is in trouble and needs to turn to Jesus. The 72-year-old evangelist painted a gloomy spiritual portrait of the city where he said Morality has plummeted since 1957, when he preached to more than 2 million people in Madison Square Garden during a 16-week crusade. I'd like to hear if anybody out there went to that. Give us a call, 632-6901. Graham said, New York City is a place in desperate spiritual need. There's been a tragic exodus from the churches in the last 30 years. And he went on about other things as well. Okay, 632-6901. Let's hear from people who went to Billy Graham and want to hear spiritual tracks and anything else like that. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, Eric, you were talking about the animal cruelty before?
Yeah.
I was going on Old Nichols Road the other day, and there was this woman. She had this small car, and there was, like, pictures in the back window, like, shredded animals and stuff. And she had all these anti-fur and anti-animal abuse stuff all over the back of the car.
Right.
You know, bumper stickers and stuff. And it, like, really pissed me off. Because I was like, you know, I don't want to see this going down the road. You know, who wants to see a bunch of splattered animals in front, plastered in front of their face when you're sitting behind this woman in the light? I mean, you know, if she wants to be anti-fur, I mean, you know, maybe put a bumper sticker on the back here. You know, don't use fur or something. That's her business. But don't, like, plaster it all over my face.
Well, I know the reason. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying here, because it does, it's a very distracting thing to see that on a car. But the reason that those things come out is so that people are shocked into realizing what goes on with animals when they do things to them. Because those pictures, I believe, are taken of animals that have been
some of them were shredded up.
Researched, yes.
So, and I don't want to see that. Don't show that to me. I mean, it pissed me off.
Yeah, well, I mean, nobody wants to see that, though. I mean, that's I'm sure she doesn't want to see it either. You know, I understand what you're saying. It's you know, distressing to see something like that.
She's so against it. Why she, like, put it in the back of her car? So when she goes out to her car, she's got to see it, too.
That's true. Well, you know, at some point, I guess you become immune to it.
Yeah, but it's pretty disgusting to me. I don't want to see that. And, you know, I think that's pretty annoying. People should knock it off.
Okay, well, I'd like to hear from people out there that have those bumper stickers and see if they think maybe they're coming on a little too strong.
Oh, one other thing. Can you give me that two-question going-to-heaven test?
Two-question going-to-heaven. Okay, that I can probably do right now. Where are the two questions? Okay, we've got two questions here. All right. These are multiple-choice questions, apparently. There's a lot of questions here. But I don't have to read any of these? All right, just two questions. Okay, question number one. All right, answer one of the following.
All right.
Do you believe that you will go to heaven when you die? Yes, no, I hope so, or I'm not sure?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Question number two, why do you believe this? Because I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. I go to church. I believe in God. I'm basically a good person. I've done the best I could. I've never hurt anyone or other.
Other.
Well, wait a minute. That's the most difficult one to figure out here. All right, what is other?
Well, I've done some stupid things, but if God's so forgiving, he'd forgive me for doing those stupid things. But, you know, I'm basically, you know, around a decent guy, you know.
Yeah? Well, you sound like a decent guy. What do I do now? How do I tell him if he's going to heaven? we're trying to figure this out, sir. Hold on one second. We'll have the answer for you in a minute.
Okie doke.
No, we're not flipping coins. Okay, wait.
Come on, you got my...
Well, I have your answers here, but this instruction... Okay.
My afterlife is in your hands. Come on.
All right. We're trying here. We're trying very hard. Okay. God will only give eternal life to those who, A, are sorry for their sins, B, are willing to turn away from their sins, C, have faith, complete trust in Jesus Christ. Okay, so if Jesus comes up to you and says, hey, stand, you know, on this train track here, and you see, you know, the 415 leaving Stony Brook, you're supposed to not move.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him to take a walk.
Well, if you do that, then, it doesn't say what happens if you do that. But when you turn from your sins and trust in Jesus, there will be a supernatural change in your heart, which the Bible calls being born again.
That sounds pretty stupid to me.
Well, now, your comments are being recorded here, so I'd be careful about you. Our good works will never get us into heaven. I don't know, what does that mean, our good works will never get us into heaven? I don't think they would. But how to be saved. Okay, sir, you sound like you need to be saved, so let me tell you what you need to know. In order to receive what Christ has done for you, you must willingly, stop trusting in your own efforts to please God and begin to trust in what Jesus Christ has already done. Ask him to forgive you for your sins. You can do that right now. Go ahead.
God, forgive me for my sins.
Okay, very good. Actually, you're supposed to ask that to Jesus Christ.
Okay,
but,
well, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me for my sins.
It can't hurt to ask both, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll ask everybody.
Okay, invite him to come and live inside of you. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right,
you
God.
You can do that right now, too.
Sounds kind of like statutory rape.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that. Now, just go ahead and ask God or Jesus to come and live inside of you.
Hey, God and or Jesus, come and live inside of me.
Okay, there you go. You got two of them down right now. See, this isn't so hard. Ask him to take his rightful place as Lord and God of your life.
Okay, God, take a rightful place as Lord and God of my life.
Very good. And five, turn away from whatever the Bible says is sin. That means you're going to have to hang up soon. this is only possible after Christ has come. Oh, this is only possible after Christ has come to live inside of you. So when Christ shows up.
Wait, he's knocking at the door. Hold on a second.
Okay, Christ is knocking at the door at 1:06 in the morning. If he is there, you're going to have to hang up because we most definitely are considered sinful here.
Yeah, that means no more heavy metal, huh?
Probably not, no. We're told that heavy metal is right out.
Bummer.
Okay, we are going to have a feature on rock and roll.
Yeah?
Yeah, and of course the power of God we'll be getting to in a few minutes.
That sounds pretty interesting on the old power surge time as well.
Okay, well, you must not think of that kind of thing.
Oh, I feel so much better now. Like, oh. Nice and clean.
you should. I mean, well, send a message to other listeners out there that perhaps are feeling the way you do.
Yeah?
I mean, what should they do?
They should listen to the brain damage to become more spiritually enlightened and cleanse your soul of all evil thoughts.
Would you say you've been saved by brain damage?
Oh, yeah. It's thanks to you, Eric. I think I'm going to go to heaven now.
Okay. Just make sure we get a cut of whatever profits you
have. Sure, I'll put in a good word for you with God.
Okay.
All right?
Good enough.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
It feels so good to reach out and save somebody. Or reach out and see somebody saving themselves. Got a nice warm feeling inside, that's what it is. 632-6901. See? You call us up, it pays off in the end. By the way, this kind of music can get you into a lot of trouble, so be careful.
For I am the servant of the Savior of God, the true world. Fisher of the Hyatt. For I am of him that liveth forever. All our tomorrows are our own. No soul who goes to sun, say the mother.
How can a little finite mortal describe the power of our Creator or the ability in all things of our infinite God? It is impossible to do it adequately, for God is so powerful and great and vast that our little minds at best cannot take it all in. This is Readings from the Power of God, compiled by Watson Goodman. But God has revealed himself in his book called the Bible, available at most bookstores. Adequately enough to give us a vast, unfolding idea of his power to do anything thought by man to be impossible. I'd figure out how to get to Bhutan. God doesn't have to make phone calls to 800 numbers. He created our world and hung it out in space. Yes, he hung it out to dry in space. In case you wonder when you wake up in the morning where you are, you're hung out there in the middle of nowhere. And it has been hanging there for thousands of years on nothing but his sustaining power. No strings. No glue, nothing. It's hanging out there in the middle of nowhere. And he has been replenishing our Earth's needs in spite of the destructive powers of both Satan and man. Now, wait a minute. We're being lumped in with Satan now? Wait a minute. The destructive powers of both Satan and I thought man was supposed to be, you know, was supposed to be good, or at least we have potential to be good. But this book is lumping us together with Satan, and Satan gets a capital S. Man doesn't even get a capital M. I didn't come here to be insulted. I really didn't. Power of God. Watson Goodman, you have some explaining to do. This is from the World Missionary Press of New Paris, Indiana. And you can get this in almost any language. Maybe Nepalese as well. I'm told by some of our experts here in the studio that if there's anybody out there that currently is possessed, and odds are, looking at our demographics, some of you must be, reading these passages will be able to drive them out of you. But then again, sometimes it doesn't work. Otherwise, as one of the people here said, we wouldn't have sequels to The Exorcist, would we? No. Here we go. But I guess I have to sort of do it suddenly, or the possessed people might turn the station. So, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Right? That's supposed to be a powerful sentence right there from Matthew 17:18. And devils also came out of many crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God, and he rebuking them suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Sounds like one of those things that, you know, you could keep saying over and over again, never say it the same way. Okay, there's all kinds of other things here, but, you know, once you get into it, you just can never really stop. But I'll say one more thing from Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed them insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. All right. Enough from the power of God there. We're going to be looking at the evils of rock and roll, so get ready for that, because a lot of you really need some help in that department. Let's take some phone calls, 632-6901. Good morning.
Hey, this is me again from Greenlawn.
Greenlawn, how you doing?
Hey, you want to call some people who went to Billy Graham?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
You were there?
Yeah.
Well, tell us how it was.
Oh, it was really good. We went down with, I was there with about 40 other people. They're selling some T-shirts around the sides.
40 people?
Little trucks that they had set up in the stands.
Uh-huh. What kind of T-shirts did you sell?
Billy Graham T-shirts.
Really? You know, I heard that they were giving those away virtually at the end, like something like $3 for $5.
You know what was going on?
What was going on?
On the outside, as you're walking out down to 81st Street on the exit to Central Park,
yeah,
some guys that had made up their own version of the shirts, and they were selling them for $1 a piece, and they were not the legal shirts, so that's what that was.
How can you afford to make a T-shirt and sell it for $3 for $5?
I really have no idea. I talked to the guys, and I was like, you know, hey, I've been selling these shirts legally for the whole entire day, you know? And he's like, yeah, well, we get the money, you don't, you know?
that's something. Wow. So people were actually doing that.
Yeah, they were. They had, there was a couple of cult leaders there, too, on the outside telling us that all the Christians are going to disappear next October. So
I heard about that, October 28th, 1992.
Right, we're going to be gone. At least those of us are... they qualify.
Well, those few, probably people who are listening to the show now, who are, you know, thinking of calling us and being saved and all that, don't make plans past October 28th, 1992, because that's when, how does it work? Everybody gets, like, sucked out of their cars and up into space.
Yeah. Supposedly, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be all gone then.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's going
to
be something.
I asked her for a couple of pamphlets, and, you know, I was like, yeah, thanks, now I got two to burn, you know. It's pretty stupid, but...
uh-huh.
I don't know.
Now,
by the way, that thing you did with the salvation thing was kind of cute, I guess you could say.
What did I do?
Leading that guy in that little pseudo prayer, I guess you want to call it.
The thing is, you know, we were reading from a book here, and this is, unfortunately it wasn't very clear as to just exactly where he would be going, but, you know, we read him the facts as they appear.
Right.
Are you going to heaven? The two-question test.
That was unique.
Didn't really reveal the answer too much.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want, I don't know if you're looking for calls from people who've had that supposed experience, but I'm one of them, so.
Well, tell us about it.
Oh, okay. What would you like to know?
Well, tell us about the experience.
The experience. The experience was pretty much how they explained it in the book. It was, I don't know. You guys kind of made it sound like a joke, and it's not, you know. It's kind of like I was talking about being clean and everything. And that's really what it is, to tell you the truth.
Uh-huh.
Feeling. It's like a cleaning, you know. You ask God to forgive you, and he doesn't. You know, like they said, the sincerity part is got to be there. But I think it's a lot more serious than it was kind of treated, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, it depends on your outlook, I suppose.
That's true. That's very true.
How long have you been into this?
I've been into it, I guess you could say, since it was around, I think it was March 1990, a couple of years now.
And was there a motivating factor that sort of propelled you into it?
No, tell you the truth, I had no... That's the weird thing about it. So a lot of people think it's, you know, something that you yourself make, you know, a psychological thing. You get into God, and then that's there. But I had no desire to get into God. And people think, you know, it's some sort of thing that you get yourself into. And it
just sort of snuck up on you, huh?
Yeah, it's not. It happened, and it was interesting, and it's true, you know? Very true.
So now compare how you feel, say, 2 years ago with how you feel right now.
How I feel...
Yeah,
I'd have to say more of how I am, you know. They were talking about, like, you staying away from sin and everything, and that's kind of like, I don't know. They say you can only do that once you've got Christ in your heart and stuff, and I believe that's true because you don't have a desire to stop doing wrong things until he's there. I had no desire to get into God, and things just change, you know. Outlook changes on life, and you're a lot more, you got more open. You know where your final destination is, and that kind of gives you a little more enthusiasm to live for the moment, I guess you could say.
Uh-huh. Do you listen to rock and roll music?
Yes, I do, but you know what? I was going to say to that guy that was on the you're talking to before, you don't have to give up the music. You could consider this giving it up, but there is Christian version of that music. They got Christian thrash, they got Christian metal, they got, you know, they got everything.
And
especially even on the station, they play it.
We play it, yeah, we have Morningstar, it comes on at 4 o'clock, but, you know, I've heard, I think it depends on who you talk to, because I've heard ministers and preachers say that it's not the words, it's the beat. It's that evil beat, and even if, you know, if you're singing different kinds of words, it's the beat that's going to send you to hell. Now, what do you think?
I've heard that. In fact, there's a band called Deliverance. They got a song in their new album called It's the Beat, and it totally talks about that. I disagree with that totally, because the beat, I mean, they say that originated in, like, the African satanic, you know, tribes and the cults and everything, and that's why they say, you know, that's where the drum beat supposedly started. But I disagree with that totally, because I mean, if you're going to say, they say you got to be separate from the world, that's why you can't have Christian rock. But, you know, what kind of music started out Christian, you know what I mean?
Right.
Everything started out non, you know, secular.
Well, now, do you think that there's anything wrong with just regular rock music?
Well, that's where the problem comes in, you know. A lot of my friends that are, as you would say, into God, they listen to some, like U2 and stuff, but those guys are Christians, too, from what I've heard. And I've heard other people listen to Metallica and Slayer, but that's messed up, because, I mean, we're talking people that talk against Christianity there and stuff, and that's like listening to, you know, that's kind of like hanging out with your worst enemy, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, like when you come to the neutral music, like REM and stuff, but they don't really have any message, you know, pro or anti-God. You know, I don't know what to say.
No religious message.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know about that, to tell you the truth. I know that there's the Christian music that I'd rather listen to, and, you know, it talks about salvation, it talks about all that stuff you're talking about, but they're a little more serious about it, I guess, and, you know, so,
yeah.
That's that.
What kind of things do you actively try to avoid?
Actively try to avoid? Well, as a little pamphlet would put it, I actively try to avoid sin, but,
But what, that's a very nebulous term.
Yes, it is. I actively, put it this way, when this happened, this conversion thing, this desire to like, just to please God and just do what he wants you to do on an everyday basis was there. That's all there is to it. That's what I try to do. I try to avoid things that are going to, that would, you know, be against what he would want.
But how do you know when you're making God happy?
Oh, if you check out that book, you know, that's in every local bookstore, that Bible. That,
uh-huh.
It says, it has quite a bit. You can find everything you want in that book. That'll give you the answers. Honestly, I mean, there's almost everything is talked about in the book. And you can find out there.
But everything in that book is open to all kinds of different interpretation.
Very true. It's been interpreted. There's a base. Yeah, I know. I've heard it all. I mean, people say to me that, you know, the Bible contradicts itself, and then you ask them to show where, and they can't. You know, that's also in that Deliverance album, by the way. You know, and it's just, there's a lot of things you could say. I got a teacher in school. I'm going to high school out here at John Glenn High School, and in Elwood, and I got a teacher here who stands in front of the class and rips pages out of the Bible because he just says it's, you know, it contradicts itself. But I don't know, you know. I mean, if you're not going to give it a chance, there's no point in standing up there and acting like you know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of other religions?
What do I think of other religions? I think other religions are an honest attempt by man to get to God. Like, you want to talk about, you know, this is going to get a lot of people upset, I'm sure.
That's what we're here for.
But like Buddhist or Muslim or things like that, I mean, that's what I would call religion, okay? Because religion, in my opinion, is man trying to get to God, you know? And, you know, what do you do? What's the religion you're going to pray five times a day to Mecca? What is that?
Is that Buddhism?
It's Buddhism,
yeah.
Muslim, I don't know what it is, but they put out a lot of their own works, and they do a lot of stuff that they think is going to get them to God. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door just a couple of weeks ago, and they believe that going around house to house is going to get them, you know, higher on God's list of those going to heaven and stuff. And it's just it's so lame. I mean, it's so simple how to get to God. It's, you know, it's just so simple if you really want it.
It's like a direct connection, huh?
Exactly. And yeah. It's true, you know. I hear, there's other stations in this that do this, and I've heard this before. And they treat it like a light thing, but it's so simple and it's so true. And if people would just give it a chance, I mean, if you just give it a chance, it's not a matter of being a religious fanatic. It's not a matter of being religious at all, you know. It's just like, if there's a God, it makes sense.
I mean, do you think it's logical that, okay, everybody gives this a chance, but not everybody's going to reach the same conclusions you did?
That's very logical. I've heard people say that God failed them, but, you know, I mean, you can give me, you know, all the arguments that I can't really give you a definite answer to, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that, a lot of people see that as being blind, you
know? Yeah, I mean, you're only speaking for yourself, right? I mean, you're not telling other people how to live their lives.
Exactly. I'm telling them that there's an option there that hasn't failed. And tell you the truth, I didn't even go for it. Like I said before, I didn't go for it. It came to me. I mean, you can take that any way you want, but I wasn't looking for God. I mean, that's the bottom line, and things changed.
Well, it's interesting to hear it from your perspective like that.
All right. Thanks a lot for letting me hear it.
Thanks for calling. Our number is 632-6901. Let's see who's out there. Good morning.
How you doing?
Okay, what's up?
He was talking about, first of all, the guy that left the phone call. He said that that people say that the Bible contradicts itself, and but they can't prove it.
Yeah.
I found one, and I really know nothing about religion. I'm like half Jewish. goes,
well, I don't know if that means you know nothing about religion, but go ahead.
He goes, it says, ask not, want not. Isn't that in there somewhere?
Okay. Well, I really don't know very many quotes, but...
Well, I'm pretty sure it's from there somewhere.
It sounds familiar, yes.
And then it says, the meek shall inherit the world.
The earth, I think, is the quote.
Earth, same difference.
Yeah, whatever.
But isn't that a contradiction? Because, like, if you're not asking for it, then you're not going to get it, but...
Sure.
But if you're meek, you'll get it.
It all depends on the context in which it was said.
Yeah, it's true.
And but I mean, you can find all kinds of contradictions in. I mean, there are so many different things being addressed there. So it stands to reason there'll be contradictions all over the place and different interpretations.
Yeah, and he was talking about how Metallica was satanic and had satanic messages and whatnot.
Right.
I don't think he really knows much about their music because I'm a pretty big fan of theirs, and I think they have like one song that even mentions anything close to the devil, and that was from like their really early work. And I don't know. I think he shouldn't be talking about stuff unless he looks into it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I went to a concert last week. I wasn't listening to the show. Sorry about that.
It's okay. You're forgiven.
And, I didn't realize what I was getting into, and they had, like, all kinds of satanic, like, big pentagrams and 666 and the candles burning and the whole thing running. It, like, bothered me, and it bothered a couple of my friends, too, but we just liked the music, but not what they were talking about. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's like, people talk like, oh, you listen to the music, then you must be satanic, stuff like that, and you must be into it. We just like, I don't know, just like the music a little bit, but we don't like what the guy's talking about, really. Like, he could listen to, like...
Yeah, it's kind of heavy-handed to say something is satanic because you don't like what it's saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I might not agree with what Christian bands are saying, but they certainly have the right to say it.
They can say anything they want.
Right, and you don't say that they're the work of, you know, satanic cults or fascists or, you know, anything. You don't... You got to judge things on their own merit.
Yeah, and it's stupid that...
Because if you say something is satanic, obviously that's going to carry a lot of weight if people believe you.
So it's pretty stupid for people and... people to categorize music as religiously based. It should just be music of what the person singing it is talking about, not whatever religion has to say about whatever.
Right.
You know, if I was going to make a band, I wouldn't base my whole thing upon the Bible or Satan or whatever, Buddha or whatever. It's pretty weird.
Uh-huh. Any final words? Where are you calling from?
Central Islip. I called about Dr. Seuss before.
Oh, you called about Dr. Seuss. Okay.
The Butter Book. I don't know. I heard about it somewhere.
The Butter Book?
What?
The Butter Book? Is that what you said?
Something. The Better Butter Red Book or something. I don't even know what it's called.
I'm trying to find my Dr. Seuss information here. I don't have it handy right at the moment, but when I do, I'll look that up and see when that was published.
And I got this book, it's of his early work here, it says Early Writings and Cartoons by Dr. Seuss, which is called The Tough Cough as He Plows the Dough.
Really?
Yeah, it's not really based upon anything, it's just like early cartoons and stuff he did. And I was looking at it, there's some pretty political stuff in here.
But, anything you want to read to us?
Oh no, it's like all like one-liners, kind of like the Far Side kind of thing.
One-liners?
Not like one-liners, but just like a picture and like a one line at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Lost it. He had some pretty funny stuff, though. He's got, like, this thing, like, a picture of a castle, and guys with, like, a catapult shooting cats at the wall. Well, it's pretty weird. So the medieval art of catapulting.
Oh. Yeah, that sounds like Gary Larson, right?
Yeah, it's pretty strange. There's a lot of...
Well, I think there'll be a Dr. Seuss renaissance.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there will be. He's got another thing. He's an unsung beast who have made big business possible. Says the models of the Animal Cracker Factory. Like these animals posing, like the animals.
Oh, that's
crackers.
Beautiful. That's great. Animal crackers.
Pretty funny stuff.
Wow.
I don't know. It says, I think my parents bought this book like last year. It says for $1.98. It was like on sale. And it was originally for $15.
Would they get it at a garage sale or something?
I think they got it at like a bookstore. I'm not even sure which one. What does it say?
Well, I imagine there's a run on Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, probably now.
Are you aware of any Dr. Seuss records that might be out there?
I know that a band called Ludachrist, which is not religiously based, they did a remake of Green Eggs and Ham. It's like a different beat and whatnot. They just pretty much sang the words to the book and...
Ludachrist, what was that, L-U-N-A Christ?
Ludachrist, like Ludacris.
Oh, L-U-D-A.
Yeah. Okay. But Christ at the end.
Right.
The guy's name is Tommy Christ. He's a singer.
Okay, well, we'll see if we have that.
I don't know. It's pretty, like heavy metal. You might have it. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, we dig up some interesting things in our record library.
Okay.
So we'll look for that. And thanks for calling.
Okay, no problem.
All right, 632-6901. That's our telephone number. And let's take a couple more calls, and we have a couple of features we want to go to. We're on in the air until 2 o'clock. The program is Brain Damage here on WUSB in Stony Brook. Good morning.
Almost fell asleep there.
Yeah, I know. It's there's really so little we can do about that, you know?
That's all right. I got a whole bunch of things in my mind now.
You're on a cordless phone.
Yes, I am. Is it bad?
Well, it's bad if you're trying to hide.
Not because your
neighbors can tune in your conversations, but...
Who's hiding?
As long as you're on the radio, I guess that doesn't really matter.
All right. Starting off, I caught this conversation in the car on the way home about the pictures of animals that were used, I guess, in experiments or whatever. And the person was saying how it offended him to see these pictures of these animals on the back of the car, and that he didn't want to, you know, have them there. And why should this lady have these animals on the car?
Right.
And you were saying back to him that it is, you know, basically it's the shock treatment to enlighten people in such an anal society, I think, who doesn't really want to be faced with these problems until it's really their problem when it hits home, you know, in bigger examples as pollution, you know, or the AIDS epidemic. People want to hide it until, you know, it's to such proportions where it's out of control. And I think a person, this person is, you know, taking this problem, which is, I think, a pretty big problem, you know, abusing another creature very lightly and saying, well, you know, I know what's going on, I'll just hide it and I won't worry about it until I have to really deal with it. When who's to say, you know, in years to come that they won't be doing this to people if it doesn't stop now?
See, I don't know if he was taking it lightly. I think he was just saying that he didn't want to be seeing it, you know, every moment of the day, or at least when he was driving. But I see your point. You know, it's something that we really shouldn't be hiding from at any point in time.
And I was wondering why... You know, I haven't seen many stickers like that myself, actually. And I guess the lady made them up herself. And she must feel pretty strongly about it. But... You know, why it offended him so much, you know, what I wanted to know, you know, what he was hiding from. That's how I, you know, I felt that he was hiding from something, or people who do not really want to see things like that are hiding from stuff that they don't want to understand or want to have to deal with. Another thing, so a couple questions. Why the big God thing tonight?
You know, I don't really know. We just have all these things that seem to be piling into the studio. And, well, you know, God's a pretty heavy topic.
Sure, sure.
We've talked about various heavy things in the past, and, you know, why not God?
All right. Well, I'll piss some people off here. Going to the abortion subject.
Okay, go to abortion.
All right. All right. I'd like to know, why is it that every time I pass by an anti-abortion rally or something of the type, or I see it on the news, they're always showing pictures. Now, see, this is going to sound a little contradictory, but I always see those pictures that they're showing of the babies and stuff, you know, they say this baby is 3 weeks old, or this baby is a month old, and this is what it looks like, and they show, you know, a developed, you know, fetus with a head, arms, and legs, and knowing doctors and knowing some information from doctors, that these pictures are falsified. There is no way that early, you know, so early in a pregnancy, that these pictures of, you know, these babies are developed this far. And that I'm wondering why people who are, you know, pro-choice, pro-abortion aren't fighting, you know, not fighting against, but and trying to enlighten the public that this is just propaganda, such are so many other tactics used by the, you know, the anti-abortion people. I was wondering if there's anyone out there who is pro-abortion or, you know, it's for the pro-abortion movement who actually does these, you know, what would you call them?
Well, they're really kidding, because the same thing is going to happen, and you'll just have, you know, coat hanger abortions in the future. I mean, the people who will be spreading the pictures then will be the pro-choice people.
And another thing is, I have a hard time understanding why pro-choice people are so afraid of contraception. if they're so not pro-choice, anti-abortion.
Right, I know what you're saying.
Right, if they're so worried about killing humans and killing babies, which I'm not taking lightly at all, you know, for anyone who's been in that situation, I'm sure, you know, it's not an easy situation. And, you know, people will be surprised at what goes through their heads at the times. Why don't they go on a big, you know, contraception campaign or...
That would make their position a lot more sincere, in my opinion. And, you know, if you do believe in a God and you believe that God is sending you messages, I would have to say the message that God is sending us right now is that contraception is the way to go, because we have all these diseases, all these, you know, bad things with pregnancy and abortion and all that. And, you know, you can say, oh, but you're not supposed to have sex unless, you know, you are doing it for a particular reason and you intend to have a kid or something like that. But, you know, people have desires. People have needs that have to be met. And to just expect them to, you know, to wipe that away because it's been deemed not to be proper or correct, that's, you know, that's completely crazy.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned. So, you know, we're getting messages. I don't know where the messages are coming from, but it's common sense that, you know, that these things are going to continue. Sex is not going to go away. And if you want to, you know, to live a happy, healthy life, you have to take certain precautions.
Sure.
So you add those two things together and you have, you know, contraception and, you know, sexual activity and all that kind of thing. It's, you know, it seems like a normal way to live.
Normal to, you know.
To people that want to live that way. Of course, there's people that don't want to live that way, and that's fine, too.
All right, two more things. I got time here?
Make it quick, because we have other callers.
Got two more things. This is directed to people who are anti-gay, who are total, you know, heterosexual and who are afraid of homosexuality, which I, you know, is a very ignorant thing. I hear a lot of, you know, recently I've heard a lot from people saying, you know, how wrong it is, you know, how these people are twisted, and you know, we've all heard that. It goes on and on and on. But what really bothers me is that, you know, these people are uneducated also, and I say to them, well, look through history, you know, are humans the only race that have these, you know, homosexual tendency activities, or, you know, homosexual activities? You know, animals, you know, namely anything you can think of, does the same, you know, will do the same thing. They will display homosexual tendencies.
I've got a bisexual dog. I know that.
Yeah, you know.
I'm not ashamed to admit it. I don't know if he'll be too happy that I'm telling everybody that, but it's, you know, it's pretty true, I think. I mean, it sure looks that way.
Right. And, you know, another thing is tying this in with the God syndrome here. I think, you know, a lot of these people who are supposedly accepting God and, you know, have whatever, you know, found their way, are very racist, and racist in terms of, you know, a couple examples. They're very anti-homosexual. You know, you don't see many born again or people who have accepted Jesus, you know, as their savior, you know, saying that they're homosexual also, or condoning homosexuality, which I think is very, you know, it's a very racist type thing. Another aspect would be, they're, you know, people saying, the religious people saying that, you know, the music, because of the driving beat, is a bad thing. You know, it's you know, Satan's music or whatever. The beat is Satan's beat. I think that's very racist also, being that, it, you know, most of the driving beats and such come from, you know, an African origin. And non-directly that's saying, you know, because, you know, this race created this music, it's bad. And I don't think it has to do with devil or God or anything like that. I think it's ignorance, and I think people who have truly believe in a God or such should be able to accept everything and not have to turn away from anything. They don't have to commit sin, but there shouldn't be a judgment on what sin is and what you should do. As this, the guy who was on the phone before me was talking about how I can read about this all in some book, but who wrote this book? You know, another human, and that's full of biases itself, and, you know, people who are following books, how could they have found some God? You know, if I believe if you found a God for yourself, the message will be in your head. You don't need a book to tell you what it is or what it isn't. And it's ridiculous to believe, because of some book and some enlightenment, that you found a God, you know,
when it's obvious another human has written this book, and there'll be, you know, thousands of adaptations of this book and thousands of different understandings of this book. You know, cut it short on that.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you've made some very good points. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing it with us.
All right, thanks for playing Ministry before us.
Hey, it had to be done, you know?
Right.
Okay, thanks for calling. 632-6901. Good morning.
Good God, you actually answered my call.
Yeah, I do it occasionally.
Yeah, well, hey, that's great. I just have a couple things to say. First of all, the guy that called up and said that God actually sought him out. He was never looking for God, but he found him anyway. I think it's a good thing for him, but he has to realize there are thousands of us out here who have prayed to God endlessly and been forsaken by him.
Uh-huh. Well, do you want to give any, not too specific examples, but general examples?
General examples? I don't know. I had a troubled childhood, and I prayed every day to God to alleviate the pain in my head. And, you know, he never did. And that's, I think, good grounds for being a solid atheist and listening to music that, you know, I think a large problem with the entire Christian crusade against satanic music is that they think that any music that goes against God or organized religion is satanic, whereas I don't think it is. I think, like, Ministry, there's a good example. The song you just played, Golden Dawn, he's saying, it's not saying anything, really. It's just some obscure quote, you're found guilty of commerce with the devil and all. But it's most of that music is just against organized religion. It's not advocating Satan. It's not saying, yes, Satan is a good guy or anything. Some metal does, and a lot of death metal is doing things like that lately. But, I mean, for the most part, a lot of the music that Christians say is satanic is not satanic. I mean, they actually, I saw a program on it on some PBS channel the other day, and they had The Cure on, okay? I don't know you, but have you ever thought of The Cure as being a satanic band?
No, I've...
No, I mean, they're just kind of there.
I'm sure had I thought the whole thing through, though, it's only logical.
Yeah, well, but I mean, The Cure, the quote they took from it was so absurd, it amazed me. It was, I'm paralyzed by the blood of Christ, though it clouds my eyes, I can never stop. What do you think he's talking about? He's saying, I drink too much, right? I mean, the blood of Christ is of course, the sacrament, the wine. I'm paralyzed by it, and the clouding my eyes is the real cleanser. Anyway, they didn't think it through. They just immediately assumed that it was some kind of satanic lyric. And they even, they quoted such bands as those evil pagans like the Beatles and Led Zeppelin. It was quite amazing, I thought. And this whole crusade against it, I just don't believe in what they're doing. And I don't know. I'm just kind of babbling on the air tonight.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you make some sound points there. And, you know, I've heard people speak out against the Beatles and say that that's, you know, inspired by Satan, too. In fact, we played a preacher on this program maybe a couple of years ago that said words to that effect. I think we might bring him out of the vaults again and just have him say what's on his mind.
Yeah, you know, they said that Led Zeppelin was satanic because on the inside of one of their album covers, they had a quote from the top 10, top 10, that's pretty good, the 10 satanic commandments. One of them is, do what thou wilt, I think it was. And that was on one of the Led Zeppelin inserts or something like that. And they said, oh, a satanic band. They're too fast to jump that it's satanic. They don't understand atheism. They don't understand that people just don't believe in God. And they're talking out against organized religion, which in itself can be purely evil. I mean, think about all the great things that organized religion has given us. It's given us severe prejudice against homosexuals. It's given us the Spanish Inquisition. It's given us some truly, horrendously evil things. And that's what 95% of, well, I'd say industrial, gothic, anything like that, is saying is against the religion itself. And there are a few bands which advocate Satan. I think the Lords of the New Church actually did. But then again, they're a bunch of idiots. And anyone who listens to their lyrics can gather this in about 5 or 10 seconds. You can just realize they babble about, oh, well, there is no God. And then they say, well, Satan's cool. Hold on. If you're an atheist and a Satanist at the same time, you're just not in a good world. And so things like that should be just ruled out as idiotic, whereas other things that bring up valid points, that religion is not a good thing in a lot of ways. It is good for anyone who it calms the heart, makes them understand life and God and such. But otherwise, I mean, it's brought about many persecutions and quite evil things, and just can't handle it. So anyway, I'm a little bit inebriated and a little bit aggravated, and I do thank you for putting me on the air tonight.
Okay, well, it's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Good night.
632-6901. Oh, we have some evil music in the background now, and we're going to tell you about the obsession that people have with rock and roll, but we want to encourage you to keep calling in because we have another 14 minutes on the program. 632-6901. What does it take to be a famous rock star? Well, here's advice from someone who should know. John Lennon said, you have to be a bastard. He probably said bastard, but never mind that. You have to be a bastard to make it, and that's a fact. And the Beatles were the biggest bastards. That's interesting. It appears making it is not really making it after all. Is the fast lane life of a rock star all it's cracked up to be? David Lee Roth confides. You know what rock musicians are? They are hung up, neurotic, overweight hippies with sex problems. Even Michael Jackson, with all of his fame and millions, reveals the pathetic truth about himself. My life is a fantasy. I'm very lonely. Some nights I go for walks, wanting to talk to someone, and end up in my room crying. Well, that's proof right there, isn't it? How many of you sometimes go for walks and feel lonely and cry? Oh, maybe you're a rock star. I don't know. Bruce Springsteen as well admits, I'm just a prisoner of rock and roll. Didn't you say that in a song? I don't know. Now, if that's what rock stars are, why are people so obsessed with wanting to be like them? One 14-year-old boy in Calgary, Alberta, which is in Canada, was so consumed with trying to copy his rock idol that he died while attempting to imitate Alice Cooper hanging himself. After all of the above, it should come as no surprise that the biographies of famous rock stars, and they capitalize the word rock here everywhere, famous rock stars have such despairing titles as Hellfire by Jerry Lee Lewis, Hit and Run by Jimi Hendrix, Buried Alive, Janis Joplin, and Dance with the Devil, the Beatles. Didn't the Beatles do Dance with the Devil? I don't know that one. Did I know Dance with the Devil by the Beatles? I don't know that one. I should, I guess. Many years ago, Jimi Hendrix emphasized the supernatural power of music when he said, music is a spiritual thing of its own. You can hypnotize people with music, and when you get them at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say. Don't kid yourself. Your subconscious has been brainwashed for years. The reason you're obsessed with rock and roll is because Satan wants you to be. Rock and roll is harmless, you say. It wasn't harmless for the 14-year-old in Canada. You see, there is a war going on for your soul, and rock music is being used to keep you a prisoner. The Bible says, we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings, and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world. Why waste your time worshiping hung up, neurotic, overweight hippies with sex problems when you can work? It's a great name for a band, isn't it? When you can worship the most wonderful person who ever lived, God himself. Why follow someone who is obviously confused when you can follow someone who has never led anyone astray? Ask Jesus Christ to come and take control of your life. I did it a number of years ago, and I've been a babbling idiot ever... I shouldn't have said that. I've been free ever since. Why don't you pray right now and experience what it's like to be really free? Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, S-O-N, Son, if the Son sets you free, you are really free. Actually, he said, if the Son dot, dot, dot sets you free, you are really free. And who knows what's in that dot, dot, dot there. And it's kind of a funny thing here. Since there is a constant turnover of new rock groups, some of those mentioned above may not currently be, quote, hot, unquote. However, be assured that other groups have taken their place and continue to present a similar message. And if you want more information on this, you can write to Truth About Rock, Box 9222, North St. Paul, Minnesota, 55109. Where'd we get this? Downstairs? Wow. Amazing. These things are being handed out left and right. Obsession with rock and roll. You know, I have a really bad feeling when I read something like this where they're telling you to not follow somebody who is human. No, no. Don't follow anybody who feels unsure of themselves or has human frailties, but rather follow someone that will never lead you astray and let them take control of your life. Ask Christ to come and take control of your life. Well, I think a lot of us out there don't want anybody controlling our lives. And that's what it's all about. 632-6901. Good evening. Morning, rather.
Is Pete there?
Is
he working tonight?
Pete. Is there a Pete here?
A one-star guy?
Well, he'll be in at 4, okay?
He's working tonight? Because he works like every other week or whatever.
Well, I'm not sure.
What, again?
I don't know if he'll be in at 4, but if he is in at 4, that's when he'll be here.
No, Pete?
Do I know Pete?
Yeah.
I see him occasionally.
Yeah. He's a good man. He plays great music.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've listened to the show a couple of times, and I've been surprised by some of the things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You
shouldn't judge anybody, of course, but,
I was amazed at how harsh it was, you know?
Uh-huh. Well,
Born Again music, you know?
Yeah, there are some people that believe that that kind of music is fine if the lyrics are all right. There's other people that say, no, it's the music that's bad, and that's what's going to get you in a lot of trouble. So,
screw them.
Yeah, well, everybody has their own opinion about that. But I think we should keep in mind that these are opinions. And we are only humans, and we can only possess human opinions. You know?
How true.
Yeah. I just get upset when somebody tells me to let somebody else take control of my life and make all decisions for me. You know, I don't care where they're coming from, but that kind of thing just rubs me the wrong way.
I hear when they like force themselves on you, you know, the born again, you know. But
uh-huh.
I believe since 1978, you know, I felt them entering me, you know, so to speak.
You felt the born agains entering you?
Yeah, spirit. Entering me,
uh-huh.
I was,
you resisted it?
No, I never resisted. 3 years, I've been working 11 years at Stony Brook.
So you were born again?
No, because I drink beer. Oh. I guess you don't, I feel guilty, but...
Well, I mean, you shouldn't feel guilty for being who you are.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, you're not supposed to do these things.
Well, look, are you hurting anybody?
Never.
Okay, well, I mean, that's really my rule. You know, if you hurt other people, that's something to feel guilty about. And if you hurt yourself, that's something that you should really, like, try to help yourself and not hurt yourself. But if you say you're not hurting anybody and you're doing things that, you know, these people say this is bad, and there's really no good reason for saying this is bad except to say, well, if you believe this, you believe this is bad. You know, I think that's oppression. That's oppression of your mind, of your individual spirit. And that's the most important spiritual thing of all, right?
It's true, because I remember we were on the way, me and three friends were on the way to Arizona in 1978, there was a big blizzard in February.
There was a blizzard in Arizona?
No.
Oh.
Out here it was.
Oh, okay.
And we went out to Arizona, and we stopped in New Mexico. Four of us. One guy went to a bar, and three of us went to this Born Again meeting, right? And we sat there and watched this guy, and this guy was talking about the whipping of Christ and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we just listened to him. And we went, I felt something entering me, you know. Ever since then, I've been nice. I've always been nice. But
you see, people do change. I mean, I've seen people change over the years, and I think what's changing them is everything that's affecting them around them. You know, society, their friends, themselves. People change as they grow older. And, you know, you have to have some belief in human power, you know, the power of somebody to change themselves because of what they experience throughout life. And to just always hand that off to a religious figure and say, well, this is the person that's going to control my life, this is the person that's responsible for everything that happens, you know, it might make you feel nice and secure and, you know, there's answers and all that, but I don't think you'd really be exploring the issue as deeply as it needs to be explored. And I'm not saying anybody is right, anybody is wrong. I just don't see how anybody has the ability to say, you know, this is 100% right, this is 100% wrong, and, you know, I know this because I've been touched by some being someplace. I don't know, it's hard to buy.
I was in New Mexico. I'm telling you, this man, he was on stage, and, you know, the place was packed.
Right.
And the way he spoke, like, you know, he went through the, how many times was he went? You know, 20, 30 times.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it just felt it, you know. He went through it, you know, it was like not a play, but yet.
Well, he had a powerful delivery.
Oh, yeah.
And he was very good at what he did. I mean, I think this is the person that reached you, you know. He got through to you somehow on a level.
But yeah, you know, he's backsliding there, and, but always in the heart, you know, he can never hurt nobody, you know. You know?
Uh-huh.
But yet, he had a beer, do a hooter or something, you know.
Uh-huh.
He felt guilty.
Right.
He's a good man. The man who's a morning star guy.
Okay, well, he'll probably be on at 4 o'clock. Listen, we want to go to one more phone call. Thanks for calling.
I thought you were bad. You're great. I listen to you when they play music and stuff, and they, you know, you talk once in a lot. But you're cool.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear somebody say that. I wish more people would say that, but maybe someday they will. 6326. Well, I'm not giving out the phone number anymore because we're just going to take one more phone call. Good evening.
Yeah, I don't want to take too much time here.
Okay, well, you have about a minute, so go ahead.
I'm going to make a comment. The guy I called about the fur earlier, and the guy wants to know what I was hiding from. First of all, I wasn't hiding from any.
You're the guy for the other listeners that doesn't want to see graphic bumper stickers of dead animals on cars by people that are against that kind of thing.
I just wanted to tell that one caller I wasn't hiding from anything. Personally, I don't agree with it either, but I just don't want to see it, you know. And I kind of agree with him on the abortion thing. So, the other guy on the abortion.
I mean, I get the feeling you don't want things just.
No, I mean,
shown in your face all the time.
Nothing to base a lifestyle on. I mean, you got an opinion on it, you know. You want to say something, but don't blast it to the whole community. And I just want to say something else about the atheist guy. He made some really good points, and that with the music and stuff. If that's so, if these religious groups are so against it, every time a band or something comes up with, like, just says Jesus or something, you know, and they're so against that, what are they trying to hide, you know? And I had read something that some born again cult or group or whatever you want to call them, they were going after Van Halen, right? Because they had the song "Hot to Teach You," and the lyric is "Maybe I should go to hell, but I am doing well." That's why Van Halen is satanic, according to this book.
Yeah, if you put, you know, those catchphrases in there, anything about hell or demons or possession or that kind of thing, you get labeled, and it's really based upon, a lot of times, meaningless lyrics, things that aren't really thought through that, you know, that thoroughly in the first place. So it's kind of giving them more credit than they deserve.
And somebody else had said something about death metal being mostly satanic.
Okay.
Mainly that's what I listen to, is death metal. And it, surprisingly enough, it sounds like it'd be really satanic, but there are, like, you know, some bands out there, you know, that are satanic, but a lot of death metal, if you read the lyrics, the ones that have lyrics, or either politically oriented or just plain stupid by, like, chopping people up like good old Jeffrey Dahmer.
Well, listen, we're going to have to take this up at a later show because we're out of time here. Paul Weissman is here, and I want to thank you for calling. I want to thank everybody else out there for listening and for taking part in the discussion. We've got a lot more of this kind of thing to come next week. We've got some surprises that we just didn't get to this week, but we will get to them next week. Paul's here. He's going to be going on with all kinds of exciting things. So stay tuned. This is WUSB Stony Brook Brain Damage. We'll be back again next week at midnight. Good night.
scares you when you don't know. Whichever way the wind might blow, I'm walking on the wire. I'm walking on the wire, and I'm falling.
Hey, 2:07 in the AM, and this is Paul Wiseman. I'm going to be here till 4:00 in the AM. It's a new time spot for me. It's like, I feel, you know, just getting later and later in the night. It's like, it's pretty cool, because I'm basically a vampire man anyhow. This is about what I'd be doing, hanging out, listening to records. So, in the best New Age tradition, I'm going to allow you to share your experience with me, to grow out of your body, and fly off, tethered to the ground, but into the air, to see all, to feel all. Right. Either way, didn't know I was following brain damage. It's going to be a tough act to follow, you know what I mean? I mean, how I can't, you know, like, drive out demons or anything. I mean, I'm just a DJ. But, you know, some people have that special power, and I think Eric Crowley does. So anybody who's been, you know, too possessed, you know who to thank, you know. And if you've been repossessed, well, that's another story completely. Let me think. Well, since most people probably didn't expect to hear me at this point in time, basically I play lots of different music from, like, any style you could possibly think of. So I'm going to regale you with country punk. What else do I have? Folk, swing, rap. No reggae, but if you want to hear reggae, let me know. I may do my poetry reading. Poetry readings are a very important part of, you know, any radio station, especially one that's, you know, got that underground mystique. Basically, my poetry reading involves taking, you know, a respected artist, someone who knows how to manipulate words, use words to get to, you know, our deepest emotions, say Slayer or Barry Manilow, and just kill the music, because, you know, that's just helping you get there, but the words, people, that's where it's at. So my poetry reading should be coming up pretty soon. I have a pretty good idea who I'm going to use, but that will be a surprise. Let me think, what else? If you want to hear anything throughout the course of the evening, 632-6901. I mean, I just came in here after a month, so, I mean, there's just ridiculous amounts of things to play that I haven't picked out, but I'm sure somewhere in the back of your brain, and you've been humming this tune for, like, you know, 3 weeks. I only know 2 words out of the 78 in the song. And you really want to hear the rest of it. But you just don't know who's going to play it. You know, B.A.B. won't play it. Or other various radio stations aren't going to play this, you know. But we do. Because that's what we do. Because, well, we're absolutely fantastic. And that's all there is to it. We are godlike in our ability to regale airwaves with music of an interesting and varietetical manner. I have just compared WUSB to God. Yes, indeed. We are getting quite sacrilegious in this late hour. Of course, I'll come full circle with Morningstar. That should be very amusing. Either way, this is a woman named Kelly Willis. She did the song from the Thelma and Louise soundtrack that was actually a song by X originally. So she can't be too bad. This is called Not Afraid of the Dark. If you want to hear anything, you may call 632-6901. That's not what we wanted, so we're going to completely ignore that. That didn't happen. It's all a figment of our collective imaginations. This is what I want to hear.
Warn me quietly.